Texaco Star Theater. The more than 45,000 Texaco dealers from coast to coast welcome you to an hour of mirth and melody with our star comedians, Fred Allen, Kenny Baker and Portland Hopper, the Texaco Roundtable, Wynn Murray and Al Goodman's orchestra. It's Texaco time. Ladies and gentlemen, the magazines are full of fabulous success stories.
Yeah.
Men who have come up the easy way.
Yeah.
Tonight, we bring you a man who has made it the hard way.
Oh, yeah.
A man who has had his nose to the grindstone for 30 years and looks it.
No kidding.
Fred Allen in person.
Thank you. I took a low bow, Jimmy. I want to see if my upper plate is holding. I just checked on that before we take off on the hour. Well, thank you. And good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Is that a new coat you have on?
No, not quite, Fred.
Looks like some skin trouble. That is a coat, isn't it? Well, good evening. Now, before we start, it really does. It looks as though you had elephantiasis with lapels or something. And good evening, ladies and... Well, before we start, Jimmy, I'm going to make an important announcement. Now, I want you to keep everyone quiet.
But I'm the only one here, Fred.
That's just what I mean, Jimmy.
Just put
a muffler on that coat to start with.
But before I shut up, Fred, tell me, what is this announcement that's so important?
Well, next week, on May 9th, Jack Benny celebrates his 10th anniversary in radio. A monster banquet is being given in Hollywood. Vitamin B1 is going to go mad that night. Speeches are to be broadcast over the networks, and Mr. Benny will be eulogized from coast to coast.
And you're going to celebrate Jack's anniversary, too?
Yes. Only on this program, we will tell the truth about Jack Benny. Instead of an anniversary, we will have a paniversary, you see. We'll have guest stars. We'll have guest stars. Portland.
Yes?
I only read this morning that Amos and Andy got in from Hollywood today. Now, they ought to know what Jack Benny has been up to lately. Will you call them up and ask them if they would like to come on our program next week?
Well, where can I call Amos and Andy?
Well, now, let me see. First, you better try the Campbell Soup Factory. And to ask them for the party line, Mulligatawny, and then if they're not there, call the Harlem chapter of the Mystic Knights of the Sea.
All right.
Now, that's fine. Now, if I can only get the mayor of Waukegan, too, say, Mr. Goodman.
Present.
You all here, or is there more of you coming up later? I mean... Call up Waukegan, get the city hall, and ask for the mayor, Mansell Talcott, will you?
Mansell Talcott? What is becoming of LaGuardia?
Well, Mr. LaGuardia is the mayor of New York.
He is not the mayor all over?
Oh, no, no.
This is news to Goodman.
Among other things. We want to get the mayor of Waukegan down here next week for our Benny celebration.
Goodman is calling.
Well, good for Goodman. And now that we've got the ball rolling for our great Jack Benny paniversary, we turn to the latest news of the week. The Texaco News presents its highlight from the world of news. New York City, New York. New York Subways Advertising Company starts innovation in city subways. Copying radio technique, company is adding entertainment cards as features to break the monotony of cough, headache, and acid stomach ads. Strap hangers today look up to see bulletins listing the movie of the month, cartoon features, Miss Subway, and other novel displays. Texaco News interviews underground commuters to get their opinions on these new subway cards. The man behind the entire movement is Mr. Ponsefort Pelt. Now, just what is it you do, Mr. Pelt?
I'm a hyper.
Well, what is a hyper? What does he do?
A hyper hypes.
I know, but a hyper hypes what?
A hyper hypes business.
Well, I must be dumb. I've been accused of being dumb, but I just don't get it, Mr. Pelt.
Well, I'll show you. Last month, business fell off on a Chinatown sightseeing buses. What happened? They sent for me.
Yeah?
I took a look at the business. I hyped it.
Well, how?
Well, people were sick of riding from Times Square down to see Chinatown.
Yes?
I revised it. I started the buses in Chinatown, bringing Chinamen uptown to see Times Square.
So they could get a new slant on the whole thing, I see.
Yeah, it was the same story with the subway. Business was falling off.
They sent for you to hype it up?
Yeah. Yeah, but first I spent 2 years in a subway making a survey.
And what did you... You were with Dr. Gallup. Did you run across him down there? And what did you find after 2 years working on your survey in the subway?
Nobody had no interest in nothing.
No.
Everybody in a subway was dull and moody. People were strap happy.
Did you hype things up?
And how? I tore out them indigestion and liver pill ads and put in cartoons and jingles and pictures of movie dates.
Well, has it made any difference?
Has it? Just try to get into the subway some morning without a reservation, mister.
I see.
Yeah, and I ain't through yet.
Oh, you are adding other features to the subway?
I'm putting parlor cars on the Lenox Avenue Local, a diner on the Sea Beach Express.
You are?
Yeah, and for people going to Brooklyn at night, I'm putting in sleepers.
And all this you think will hype business?
Oh, you said it, bud. Thanks to me, now the subway's gone places.
Yes, sir. Well, you said it. You can stay here and suffer for it. Yes, the subway is going places. If the matinees hold up, the subway may run as long as Tobacco Road. And thank you, Mr. Ponsefort Pelt. A commuter who isn't enthused over the subway's recent improvements is one Bengal Spread. Have you noticed the great changes in subway displays, Mr. Spread?
I ain't seen nothing.
You haven't got a pool ball in your mouth or anything, have you? I thought you might be carrying the eight ball internally there. But you patronize the subway, don't you?
I've been riding 20 years in them subterranean rockets.
For 20 years?
And
you haven't noticed any changes?
I ain't seen nothing.
That I can believe now that I take a good gander at you. You ain't,
For 20 years, I've been getting on at 96th Street. I ride downtown.
And?
I ain't seen nothing.
Why?
All year round, I wear a derby.
Yes?
Every morning, I get in the subway at 96th Street.
Yeah?
Somebody jams the derby down over my head.
And?
The next thing I know... Bam! It's 14th Street.
You're the only man I've ever heard talk who carries his own air conditioning right in his mouth. And that's why you say, Bengal, that for 20 years...
I ain't seen nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You ought to get a beret.
You ought to get a beret, brother. A raspberry.
Tells me we'll hear from you later, and thank you, Bengal Spread. A young lady who looks pleased about the subways is Miss Beryl Houlihan. What do you think of the new subway technique, Beryl?
I've been having a time of my life. I've been out of this world.
Well, how do you mean, out of this world?
I've been down in a subway for the last month.
We're doing what?
Roystering and fiestering.
In that order?
Yeah.
Roystering.
It's been a regular bacchanelli.
What started this round of gaiety?
Well, the subway's pepping things up. They're running a monthly beauty contest.
Oh, and you?
I was Miss Interborough for April.
Miss Interborough? Yes.
Yeah. I've been making personal appearances.
In the subway?
Yeah. The first week, I appeared at all the express stops.
Well, good for you.
Then I started doing personals at the locals.
The local stops, huh?
Yeah.
I get it. Local girl makes good.
Yeah. Well, then I did a couple of guest shots in the 8th Avenue subway... And for two heavenly days, I was Miss Shuttle.
Miss... In other words, it has just been one round of sunken triumph.
Yeah. At 66th Street, flashlights, autographs, people throwing wads of gum for confetti.
Yes.
At 33rd Street, people running out of Macy's basement cheering. And a little sales girl giving me the key.
The key to the city?
Nah, the key to Macy's basement. Then the grand finale.
The grand finale.
A fiesta at Delancey Street.
A fiesta at Delancey Street.
The natives all in costume.
Oh, those natives.
People drinking borscht out of my slipper.
Well, tell me, with the open-toed slippers, doesn't the potato catch in the toe when they drink borscht out of it? How picturesque, I must say.
Ah, but it's all over now. That's life, I guess.
Ah, that is life. Sic gloria, rapid transit.
Hey, what does that mean?
That's Latin for down in the subway, you're a celebrity, but on the level, you're a nobody.
Ain't it the truth?
Ain't it the truth?
You can say that again.
It was quiet enough to think it over, and thank you, Miss Hindenburg. And now a man who is contributing to the subway's cultural uplift, Mr. Thorndike Swinburne. You said, is that Winburne or Swinburne?
Swinburne.
Swinburne. You said you were doing some work in the subway, Thorndike.
That I did.
Well, what, you do your own repeat show as you go along, don't you? Well, what is it you do?
I write witty jingles.
Those little four-line verses, that's what you meant by witty jingles.
That I did.
Well, what is the purpose of your jingles?
Well, they have to be about the subway.
Yes.
And they have to be funny.
Yes.
And they have to make people laugh.
And did you say your subway jingles have been doing all of this?
That I did.
Well, can you give us a spontaneous rendition of one of your verses?
Huh?
Can you give us an idea of what one of your verses is like?
Oh, you want I should recite one?
That I do.
Yeah. Who was that talking then? Was that me?
No, I was talking.
Yeah, who was you talking to?
Well, I was talking to you, remember?
Oh, yeah. There,
you were the fellow who wasn't in here before you
came
in.
Yeah, you was asking me to recite one of my subway jingles.
Yeah, one of your jingles, if you will.
Here's one.
Remember you, Dr. Jingle and Mr. Hyde some years ago.
I was doubling it.
Yes, but you're tripling now the way the thing is going here. Well, would you recite one of your jingles, if you will?
Here's one now. A commuter named Fosdick B. Fine took a book on the IRT line, but they knocked off his hat, squeezed his grapes of wrath flat. He got off with a handful of wine.
You wrote that?
That I did.
Well, tell me, have you written any others?
Yeah, I got one called It Could Be You.
How does that go?
You may think you're alone in the subway as you ride down each morning to work. When you stop at Canal, mister, you got a pal. Because the train lets you off with a jerk.
That is the end?
If you're getting off a canal, yeah.
But what about the title, It Could Be You?
Well, that's where the jerk comes in. It could be you.
I see what you mean. Well, tell me, have you ever thought of giving up poetry, Thorndike?
That I didn't.
Well, I wish you would. Mercy, Thorndike Swinburne. If the subways continue to pamper passengers, we may shortly have bingo and community singing on the different lines. If they do put singing hostesses on subway trains, we may soon be hearing this.
All right, folks, we got time for one more song before we get to Times Square. What'd it be?
How about Old Susanna?
Old Susanna. Okay, folks. One, two.
Oh, I was coming down from Harlem on the good old BMT. I was riding over to Borough Hall, my true love for to see. I could have come by bus, I could have come by trolley. I could have come by taxi cab or taken the L by golly. Oh, Susanna, oh, don't you cry for me. I may be late a day or two. I'm coming on the BMT.
Now, Now, Kenny Baker, having warmed up on his way down at the community sing on the subway, is prepared for his task here now. Kenny's first song has a title that sounds as though Kenny might have written it himself. The song is called Daydreaming of a Night.
Falling as night turns into morning, a morning starting another day for dreaming of a night. Daydreaming of a night with you, a night of love that we have known. When darkness drew round us like a veil of blue and held me there with you alone. The soft wind whispered that mine, and I made you mine, all my own. You've left me daydreaming of a night when we will have again this love we.
Kenny singing at this hour reminds me of an all nightingale. But say, Larry Elliott, would you come over here a minute,
please? Yes, Fred.
That's the first nightingale I ever saw lay an egg, too, by the way. Say, Larry,
yes?
I have been reading a lot of automobile advertisements lately, you know, all about the automatic devices they're putting on the new cars.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you're an expert on automobiles. Tell me, when do you think we'll have a completely automatic car?
An automatic car?
Well, you know what I mean. A car where you won't have to worry about the clutch, the gear shift, or anything. You just get in and tell the car where you want to go. It will start itself, steer itself through traffic, and when you get to your destination, the car will stop itself, put on its brake, and hand you the keys. Now, how soon do you think we'll have a car like that?
Well, that, Fred, may be just around the corner. But as for not worrying about the clutch and gear shift, why, that's all stuff.
Is it, Larry?
Yes, drivers who used Texaco Sky Chief long ago discovered that with this different premium gasoline in the tank, a lot of unnecessary clutch and shift driving was eliminated. Sky Chief's flexible power, responsive at any speed, throttles down smoothly and picks up strongly. There's less chance of stalling. None of that fluttery feeling under the accelerator. For Sky Chief idles in traffic and flattens hills in high with equal ease. Cuts down shifting. Gives you the satisfaction of handling an alert, smooth-running car. So, for more fun and less driving effort, fly the highway with Sky Chief, your Texaco dealer's premium gasoline for those who want the best.
The Paravigo Mimo. What is this Paravigo? Mr. Goodman, what is this Paravigo Me Boy? What sort of name of this last number? What sort of music is this?
Who knows what my band is playing?
Well, you're the leader.
This last number I'm not leading. You are sending me to call Waukegan.
Oh, yes. Did you talk to Mayor Talcott?
He will be here next week with bells on yet.
Well, why with bells on?
On the side, the mayor is a good humor man.
Fine. Say, don't sneak away. I mean, you don't have to run away when you read the line. Just stay there and face it. Take your medicine before... Say, Portland.
Yes, Mr. Allen?
Did you get Amos and Andy?
No, they were out.
Oh, yes, that's too... Well, I tell you what we do. You call them at 7:15. They'll just be finishing their broadcast.
Oh, how will I know when it's 7:15?
Well, you have a wristwatch on there.
Oh, I can't tell time by this anymore.
What, after all the money I spent on that lovely wristwatch for your birthday?
I can't help it. I can only tell when it's noon.
Well, I'll have to speak to Tiffany about that. I spend a fortune for a watch, and it only tells 1 hour. Say, by the way, how can you tell when it is noon?
Mickey Mouse has both hands straight up.
I'll take it back to Liggett's and have it fixed for you. That's the trouble with those Mickey Mouse watches. If they see a cat, the hour hand arches every time.
Oh, you don't understand. It isn't the watch.
Well, what is causing your trouble?
It's daylight saving time.
Well, that I can understand. Daylight saving time has everybody confused. And that, since we have 2 minutes to kill here, fortunately reminds me of a story. Would you, it says here. Reminds me of a story I've been rehearsing all afternoon. Would you, you know the trouble, the people hear the first show at home and they come hear the second show. Now, the thing is to get a new audience. We don't need a new show here. Would you like to hear this story?
Have I any choice?
No. As you know, at 2 o'clock last Sunday morning, all clocks in the East were moved ahead to 3 o'clock. That you know. Now, it seems that there was a pinochle game going on at the Union League Club over in Nutley, New Jersey. This means everything out in Pasadena where they're hearing it now. This pinochle game was going on over there at the Union League Club in Nutley, and according to the club rules, this pinochle game had to break up at 2:30 a.m. on Sunday, April 27th.
Well, what happened?
Well, when the clocks were moved from 2 to 3, there was no 2:30. So at this very moment, as we stand here, 8 loyal Union Leaguers are still sitting there playing pinochle over in Nutley, waiting for 2:30 a.m. April 27th, which won't be around until next year. Now, that's what changing the time did for them.
Oh, I don't think people should care what time it is.
Well, that's the way I feel about it, too. What, after all, what is time? It's just the stuff that eternity is made of.
You're not a pessimist, Mr. Allen.
No, Portland, I'm not a pessimist. I'm a cynic.
A cynic, he says.
That is exactly what I said, Mr. Goodman. I am a cynic.
A cynic is a railway. A cynic railway.
That is scenic. Scenic railway. A cynic is a skeptic.
Skeptic is for a poison. Anti-skeptic.
No, no, no. That's antiseptic.
Antiseptic is in football. The fullback is antiseptic, a forward pass.
Please, Mr. Goodman, throw yourself for a 10-yard loss back to your podium there and let... Oh, hello, Kenny.
Hello, Kenny.
Hello, Kenny. Hello, Kenny.
Now, wait a second. This lady just came in. Let's start and do the whole thing over here. That was Paravigo Me Boy. What is this, Mr. Goodman? What is this You want to skip it, lady? I mean, we'll do it if you want it. Well, that's the trouble. You take off your shoehorn, sure. You take off your shoes in here, your feet swell up. We carry people home every night in here who do that. Can't get their shoes back on. Well, how come, wait a minute, what's going on here? Wait a second, Kenny, are you getting so bewildered? We all have the right places. Yeah. Are you getting so bewildered, you are talking to yourself?
No, it's not that. I'm a new man tonight, F.A.
Oh, and you are greeting the new man, eh?
You bet.
Well, how come you're so pleased with yourself as of now?
I just swung the slickest deal that's been pulled off since a man from Schenectady bought Grant's tomb.
Uh-huh. Here it comes. Well, what happened, Kenneth, my boy?
Well, you know that hour that disappeared Sunday morning when we all changed to daylight saving time?
Yes.
I bought it, the whole 60 minutes.
You bought it.
But, Kenny, what can you do with 60 minutes?
Sell them.
Sell them to whom?
Haven't you ever said to yourself, gee, I'd like to have a few minutes alone with Hedy Lamarr?
Yes.
I got the minutes, brother.
And for Hedy Lamarr, who do you see? Speak low, I'm taking it down.
The second time in one night you died with that. I don't mind once. Hedy Lamarr. Hedy Green was the lady. Hedy Lamarr. If it used your Hedy in here, you'd see the Lamarr come. But you keep out of this, Maestro. Kenny, you have been fleeced more often than Mary's little lamb. How much did you pay for this hour?
$5 for the 60 minutes. Cheap, huh?
Kenny, who perpetrated this bull of a swindle on you?
You remember Mr. Analik?
Analik, that swindler? Why, he built you once before.
Not this time he didn't.
But, Kenny, what can you do with this hour you bought?
I'm selling it for 10 cents a minute.
Oh, well, you can't sell time. Time isn't a commodity. Time isn't tangible.
Tangible, he says. A tangible is a small orange.
Again, he's correcting my English. And again, he's wrong. What you mean, Mr. Goodman, it's not tangible, it's tangerine.
Tangerine, he says. That's what gypsies are hitting on their knees with their heads.
Oh, go away, and this time away, away, go away.
Now, Mr. Allen, how about taking some of this time off my hands at 10 cents a minute?
Not me, brother.
All right, I'll let you have it wholesale. 20 minutes for $2.
Well, save your breath, Kenny. No one is going to buy your time.
Oh, no? I already sold some, F.A.
Why, that's ridiculous. You're not kidding me. Come in.
Mr. Baker?
Oh, hello, Mr. Volk.
I'm right on time.
Everything's ready, Mr. Volk. Go right ahead.
What is it?
Quiet, F.A.
Attention, motorists! The Asphyxie Motor Company, makers of America's finest automobile, the Asphyxie 8, bring you the correct time. Yes, it's time to switch to the new Asphyxie 8. Get in behind the wheel of a new Asphyxie 8 before someone's fender gets up behind you. Remember, the Asphyxiate features that new rear end, which is sweeping the country.
Time, your minute's up, Mr. Volk.
Thank you, Mr. Baker. Here's your dime.
Thank you.
Now, wait a minute. Who was that?
That was one of the minutes I sold, F.A.
Oh, it was?
Yeah, and there are 10 more guys outside. They all own a minute each. I'll call them in one by one, and we'll get the
Kenny, whole... Kenny, wait a minute. You can't sell Texaco's time to other sponsors.
But who's selling Texaco's time?
Well, you are. This time we're wasting right now belongs to Texaco. Texaco bought it from the Columbia Broadcasting System.
But I'm not selling Texaco's time. I'm selling the time I bought from Mr. Analik.
He's got you, Mr. Allen.
But good he has got you.
Well, now I'm all mixed up. Your time runs concurrently. I tell you what I'll do, Kenny. I will buy this Analik time of yours, so we won't interfere. How much have you got left there?
20 minutes. It's 10 cents a minute.
All right. Here's your $2.
Thank you.
To Goodman, this is wasting $2.
You keep out of this, Maestro.
On account of having $2 as a young man, Goodman is not having a penny today.
Well, what has having $2 as a young man got to do with your not having a penny today?
Goodman, with the $2, is buying a marriage license.
Well, we live and learn.
If Goodman had $2 today...
Would you buy another marriage license?
I would put it on a horse. I would get a better run for my money.
You and I have been double-duped, Maestro. Let's have this thing straight once and for all. Kenny, there are to be no more transactions with Mr. Analik.
Oh, it's too late, F.A.
Too late?
Yes, he just called up to let me in on a big deal.
More time?
Yes. A judge just gave Mr. Analik 6 months, and I can have any part of it for $10. So long.
And you are now, while Kenny is being fitted for the new spring-style striped suit for the men who deal in time wholesale, Miss Wynne Murray, Texaco's girlfriend, who has her own time on our program, prepares to use it. Wynne's song is I Look at You. Well, look at me, Wynne.
I look at you and the trumpet plays so sweet. I look at you and the drum begins to beat. I touch your hand and a whole darn band begins to play. Then my poor old heart starts in to swing and sway. A saxophone moans when you leave me, dear. A tinkling piano plays when you come near. You are melody and harmony that thrills me through and through. There's music in my heart when I look at you. There was no song here in my heart till you came my way. Now that you're near, close to me, dear, I look at you and the trumpet plays so sweet. I look at you and the drum begins to beat. I touch your hand and a whole darn band begins to play. Then my poor old heart starts in to swing and sway. A saxophone moans when you leave me, dear. A tinkling piano plays when you come near. You are melody and harmony that thrills me through and through. There's music in my heart when I look at you, thrills me through and through. Music in my heart when I look at you.
Thank you. That is very nice, Len.
Oh, excuse me, Mr. Allen. Can I say hello to May?
Hello to May?
Yeah. Hello, May. Are you listening, May? I'll be expecting you tomorrow, May. Everything's all ready for you. So long, May.
Say, Kenny, you come back here. Oh, shucks, he's gone. Can you imagine the cheek of that kid using our microphone to say hello to some girl?
Why, May isn't a girl, Fred.
She isn't?
Oh, May is a month. It starts tomorrow, haven't you heard?
Well, I don't get out much, you know, working on this. I'm down in the corn crib all day working on the things here. But Kenny said everything is all ready.
Oh, yes, Fred. You see, he's had a Texaco dealer prepare his car for the hot days ahead.
Uh-huh.
You too, ladies and gentlemen. Tomorrow you'll be saying hello to May, and the mid-spring season will be here. Don't forget that each day you delay getting your car ready for warm-weather driving now can mean serious trouble and expense later on. So do the wise thing. Catch up with spring at your Texaco dealer right away. First, he'll drain off that old, dangerously thinned-out winter oil. Replace it with fresh, insulated Havoline, or insulated Texaco motor oil, insulated to stand up to high engine temperatures. And then he'll give those vital gears in the transmission and differential a new lease on life with Texaco gear lubricants of the right seasonal grade. Finally, he'll restore needed protection to chassis parts, make your car ride quietly, steer easily with Marfac, Texaco's famous 40-point chassis lubrication service. So don't delay. Get your car in step with spring at your Texaco dealer. The Texaco Star Theater continues immediately following a short pause for your station identification. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.
That was was a half-mast version of... Mr. Goodman, your agent. That was a half-mast version of Rhythm is Red, White, and Blue, waved by Maestro Goodman, who was conducting with his second papers. And this, I didn't know you could roll them down that small, Mr. Goodman. And this brings us to the Texaco Roundtable. Again, we feature radio's only unrehearsed discussion group, whose efforts are concentrated on trivia. We will discuss a rumor, a casual remark overheard in a crowd. Others stoop to conquer, we stoop to debate. No subject too low, we'll stoop to it. Portland opens our roundtable session simply by calling the roll, if you will, Port.
Uh-huh. Mr. Ben Kamsler of New York City.
Well, good evening, Mr. Kamsler.
Good evening, Fred.
May I ask your occupation or profession?
I'm an editor.
An editor of what, may I ask?
Of a magazine.
A magazine? What magazine?
Song Parade magazine.
Song Parade?
That's right.
What is that? Is that a new magazine?
That's a new lyric magazine.
Oh, you mean one of those magazines that comes out and contains nothing but the lyrics of all of the popular songs, is
that's
that right?
That's right.
All the popular songs?
Right. Yes.
You don't put the music in with the lyrics?
No, just songs, mostly BMI.
Well, do you, what do you do? Just BMI songs,
yeah.
Huh?
Uh-huh.
Is it a large book you're putting out?
Plenty.
I see.
Jeannie and Jeannie's daughter.
Yes, I thought probably you had one page in there with Jeannie on the front page and then pending on the second page. But tell me, do you think, Mr. Kamsler, that better music is being written today than we had written years ago?
Well, I don't know. There's
better
more
quality.
Of it.
More. Of it. Well, we're getting better quantity, I mean, but that's are we getting right. the same quality?
No, it's louder.
It's just louder now, and the composers are more frequent, in other words.
Right.
I mean, years ago, we used to have nice songs like Believe Me If All Those Endearing Young Charms, and today we have songs like Beat Me, Mama, with a Boogie Beat. I mean, and we used to have patriotic songs like Hail Columbia, Happy Land. Today we've got I'm nuts about the good old USA. You think it's better now than it was years ago, huh?
That's right.
Well, I hope to see my name. Could you take songs on your Song Parade magazine?
Yes, we take songs and we have a contest right now.
Contest? I have a song for you, Mr. Kamsler. I've written a new song, sort of a pastoral effect. It's called I'll Meet You at the Hen House, Helen, if you will egg me on. Have it over there.
It's fine.
Excuse me, it's getting too hot in here. I mean, after all, we can't be good, we'll be comfortable. So, all right, go. Excuse me.
And now, Mrs. Rita Prager of New York City.
Oh, good evening, Mrs. Prager.
Good evening, Mr. Allen.
I hope you'll excuse me taking off my shirt. I am
quite
soaking
right.
wet. I don't want to float off the rostrum here. I want to see a man telling me we have 3 minutes left to go. Show Mrs. Prager how we only have 3 minutes left to go. See how it goes in radio? Well, tell me, what is your... Three of them in radio. In other play, you only get... But, tell me, what is your profession, your profession, Mrs. Prager?
No profession, just a housewife, Mr. Allen.
You are just a housewife? Well, that is a very honorable profession, Mrs. Prager. What business is your husband in, may I ask?
A musician.
Can you have an affidavit to prove that, have you?
Positively.
I mean, is that your personal opinion, or is he a member of... Is he a member of 802 in Good City?
A member of 802.
Well, is he a symphony musician or is he working?
He's working.
Well, thanks a lot. I was going to ask you some other questions, but I'm sorry we haven't got time. The man's only got one more finger left to write.
Mr. Patrick Klein of Brooklyn, New York.
Well, good evening, Mr.
Good evening, Fred.
Tell me, may I ask your profession, Mr. Klein?
The truck driver, back again.
You are a truck driver?
Truck driver.
Are you? Well,
yes,
what
sir.
Firm do you work for, may I ask?
Walton Hauling and Warehouse and Scenery and Transport.
Oh, the Gene Walton Company who hauls all the theater.
Theatrical
baggage, yes. Well, tell me, how do you fellas feel? For instance, you haul a show into a theater and the show flops and the next day you come back and haul the scenery out again. Do you ever feel badly about that? I mean, any sentiment attached to it? Or is it just overtime? I mean...
Well, no, if it's overtime, it's natural.
All right, all the actors can be sitting out in the gutter. That's all right, you
okay.
get overtime. Well, that's fine. I'm sorry, I'd like to go into this with you, Mr. Klein, but the man is down to waving his cuticle now. That brings us... That brings us to our question, and tonight we deal with deception. Down, my eyes are getting bad. I have either got to get glasses or longer arms here. Now, I can't. Well, that brings us to our question. And tonight we deal with deception. Down through the ages, women have used artificial lures, cosmetic, rouge, bustles, rats in their hair, and other false accessories to attract the male member of the species. Men, on the other hand, have resorted to toupees and padded shoulders to deceive their girlfriends. Now, recently, shoes have been put on the market here that enable men to add several inches to their height. This is perpendicular deception. And tonight, then, our question is, do you think a man should be satisfied with his normal height? Or do you think he is justified in wearing these shoes to give the false impression that he is taller than he is? Mr. Kamsler, how do you feel about it?
I feel that one stoops to deception, not rises by it.
One stoops to deception and doesn't rise through deception. Well, I'll have to work that out. You hear from me. If you don't hear from me within 30 days, mister, is the time all eaten up? We got any more time? We still have time. How much have we got now? I mean, well, all you guys are waving at each other. Hey, you've got big business for you. He's waving at them, they're waving at him. You say, how much time is left? Nobody knows. We didn't know anything like that. Now we have no more time, huh? Well, all right, Mrs. Prager, you don't mind if I don't continue, do you?
Of course not.
The executives, you know what a conference is. A conference has just been held. You know what a conference is?
Yeah.
A conference is a meeting of a group of men who singly can do nothing, but who collectively can decide that nothing can be done. Mr. Klein, will you excuse me?
I sure will, Fred.
All right, thank you. We're a little late. I'm sorry we can't continue the thing, and thank you all, and I'm terribly sorry. And now, Kenny Baker, the time baron, uses a few minutes he had left in stock to sing for us in the gloaming.
In the gloaming, oh, my darling, when the lights are dim and low, and the quiet shadows falling softly come and softly go. When the winds are sobbing faintly with a gentle unknown, of me and love me as you did once long ago. Crushed with longing, what had been could never be. It was best to leave you thus, dear, best for you and best for me. It was best to leave you thus, best for you and best for me.
give Kenny another apple, Jimmy. And here's Jimmy Wallington to tell us about Fire Chief. And Fire Chief, oh, that reminds me, I've got to call the mayor right away.
The mayor, friend?
Yes, I have an idea, Jimmy, that will make the fire department self-supporting and save the city millions every year.
May I ask what the idea is,
Well,
friend?
Look, now everybody likes to go to fires, huh?
Yes.
Well, all right, the mayor can put 50 extra chairs on every fire engine and sell tickets. He can have a chair for himself on there, for which he won't pay. For a dollar, you get a round trip to a three-alarm fire. And for 10 cents extra, you can blow the siren. Say, I'm going to call the mayor right now.
Ah, no, don't bother, Fred. Save your nickel.
You mean the mayor won't go for my idea?
50 extra seats on every fire engine? Why, everybody knows a fire engine has to be stripped for action. There's no room for useless equipment. No duds allowed.
Oh, I didn't know.
Yes, and that goes, too, for the gas tanks of fire engines and other emergency duty vehicles. No room there for duds, those sluggish, slow-firing elements in gasoline. So there are no duds in Texaco Fire Chief, the gasoline designed for emergency duty action. They're out, removed by special steps in Texaco refining. In Fire Chief, you get only the instant firing elements that start your engine quickly and keep it at the peak of power mile after mile. It's stripped for action. You're buying full power at regular gasoline prices. Next time, try a Texaco dealer and famous Texaco Fire Chief, the emergency duty gasoline. There's not a dud in a tank full.
Well, that seems to bring
us... Mr. Allen?
Yes, Portland?
I just talked to Amos and Andy. They'll be here next Wednesday.
Oh, boy, isn't that great? With Amos and Andy and the mayor of Waukegan, we're all set for our Jack Benny Panniversary next week. And now, ladies and gentlemen, the Texaco Workshop Players. Tonight, they dramatize the final episode in the artistic career of a nondescript concert singer. It's called The Baritone's Plight, or The Singer Must Have Been Fond of Animals... for he always had a frog in his throat. Music deems.
Into the depths of musical oblivion this year slipped a shopworn and unpopular singing star, the baritone Charles John Allen. For 20 years, Charles John Allen toured the hinterland, and for 20 years, at the end of his recitals, audiences had shouted,
"Boo, boo, get him over there."
In 1920, after his concert at Beaver Paw, Nebraska, the owner of the auditorium said,
"Charles John Allen had a long run here. Last I saw Charles John, he was running down Main Street, accompanied by the piano and three bushels of vegetables."
In 1927, Mrs. Biddle Tittle Middle, wealthy music lover, said,
"I sponsored a Charles John Allen recital on the Albany Night Boat. 200 passengers got off at Poughkeepsie."
In 1935, Leopold Kautowski, celebrated conductor, said,
"I am conducting for Charles John Allen in Hoboken. He is singing, 'Carry Me Back to Old Virginia.' The audience is doing it."
And so it went until 1938. That year, Charles John Allen auditioned for the Hackensack Opera Company.
How's that?
You are going to places, Allen, and you are going now. Scramos.
The following year, he auditioned for another company.
How's that?
Sorry, Allen, we can't use you. You don't laugh loud enough for the Bob Hope studio audience.
In 1940, Charles John tried out for Major Bowles.
All right.
And now, as the curtain rises for the last time on his off-key career, we find Charles John Allen in his dressing room at Carnegie Hall. His friends have hired Carnegie Hall for one night, and as a farewell gesture, Charles John is singing at a benefit for himself. As we open the dressing room door, we find Charles John warming up.
Me, Harvey. Confound that ballot. Harvey!
Roger, coming, sir?
My concert starts in 10 minutes, Harvey. Where's my clown suit?
You've got it on, sir.
So I have. Where are my satin pumps with the pop palms on them?
You got them on, sir.
So I have, Harvey. Confound my eyes. I'm getting more nearsighted every day.
Yes, sir. Here is your toupee, sir.
No, I've got my toupee on, Harvey.
Oh, no, sir. You've put on the rubber mat from under the ashtray, sir.
Well, no wonder my military brushes kept skidding.
Here is your toupee, sir.
Confound my eyes, Harvey. Where are you? Is that you, Harvey? Oh, that's the hall tree. You're Harvey with the glasses on. I'm so nearsighted, I can't see this season to read my music.
Oh, a pity, sir.
Taken Mouse Meat Oregon last year. Doing Tosti's goodbye, for 9 bars, I sang the cello player.
Oh, yes, I recall, sir.
At Bellows Falls, instead of Hold the Gentle Lark, I sang Listen to the Mockingbird. I couldn't tell one bird from another.
Yes, I remember the birds that night, sir.
You took some photographs, as I remember. At my Nutley concert, I picked up what I thought was my score and sang 4 pages of the Sears Roebuck catalog. I sang 2 complete illustrations. Yes, my eyes have doomed me.
Couldn't you wear glasses, sir?
What? A concert singer wearing bifocals?
Sorrow, sir.
Have you ever seen Rigoletto with a pince-nez on?
No, sir.
But very well. Don't mention glasses to me again. Me.
5 minutes, Mr. Allen. 5 minutes.
5 minutes to curtain time, Harvey. Me. My vocal cords are a bit rusty here.
Look here, sir. You ought to get the mouth act, sir.
Yes, I think I ought to. Come in.
Charles, John?
Yes, who is it?
It's me, Batchelor, your agent.
Oh, yes. Confound my eyes. I couldn't see you at first. How is the house?
The jig is up, Alan. The house is empty.
What?
You're through, Alan.
I'm through?
Yes, you're a dud.
What can I do? A dud, you say? What can I do? Go back to calling trains?
No. The New York Central just signed Singin' Sam. They wanted a name.
Dad, John, Charles, John, Allen, through. Don't know the order of my 3 first names here. I'm through, finished, done.
You got one last chance, Allen.
Minsky?
No. Radio.
Not that.
Quiet,
no,
quiet.
No.
I dug you up a sponsor for $100 a week.
No, no. Who?
It's Mrs. Vogelson of Vogelson's Vitamin Vinegar. She's coming to hear your concert tonight.
I trust she's a music lover.
If she is, you're sunk.
Huh?
Now, listen, Charles John. I told Mrs. Vogelson you're nuts about her vinegar. Now, I brought these bottles of vinegar. I'll put them all around your dressing.
Yes, thanks.
Now, pour some in these glasses.
You do that. Yeah. Come on, a little.
Mrs. Vogelson will think you've been using her vinegar.
Yeah.
This must be Mrs. Vogelson. Now, remember, you're nuts about vinegar.
Yes, of course. Come in.
How do you do, Mr. Batchelor?
Howdy, Mrs. Vogelson. Meet America's favorite baritone, Charles John Allen.
Oh, how do you do?
How do you do? I'm glad to meet you.
Button your tonsils, bum.
Yeah.
Charles John is a great Vogelson vinegar fan, Mrs. V.
Really?
Yes. Vinegar's really my weakness. You see bottles everywhere here. I even keep it around in glasses.
Fine. Now, I need a radio program to sell my vinegar.
Oh, Charles John has got a great voice, Mrs. Vogelson.
Me.
His voice is a little sour.
Just the thing for a vinegar show.
Yes. Well, I'll go out front and hear the concert.
Yes, I'd do that.
If you're a hit tonight, Mr. Allen, you're hired.
Uh-huh.
Ta-ta.
Now, you've got to put it over, Charles John.
I shall. Have no fear. Me. I'm in rare voice tonight. This is confidential.
Curtain, sir.
I've got to go.
Good luck, Charles John.
Me. I'd better give my throat less goggle here. My voice, I don't know what I'm doing in my nervous condition. My voice has got to be bright afresh for Mrs. Vogelson. Where is my goggle, Harvey?
Right there on your dressing table, sir.
Oh, yes. I'll rinse my thorax.
Yeah! Oh, yeah! You took the wrong glass, sir.
What?
You goggled the vinegar, sir.
Vinegar?
Yeah.
Dad, my mouth tastes like the bottom of a salad bowl.
Stop making them faces.
Well, I can't help it. The vinegar is puckering up my mouth. This is terrible.
Oh, good heavens, his mouth is closed completely.
Open your mouth, Charles John.
We're cleared. I'm ruined.
Oh, what a mess.
We're holding the curtain. Hurry, Mr. Allen.
You have to keep holding the curtain.
But you've got to go on and sing.
Yes.
How can I sing when I can't even talk? I feel like that.
Look, and try to sing. Come on. Me.
Moo.
Somebody will come in here and try to milk you.
Sir, this is a horrible calamity.
Yeah, we can't hold the curtain any longer, Mr. Allen. You gotta come. What's the matter with your mouth, sir?
He goggled with some vinegar. It's puckered.
Yes, we've got to unpucker it some way.
Yeah. Look, Charles John, try saying the vowels. A.
E.
E.
A.
I.
O.
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 That's no good. Think of a word that'll stretch his mouth.
All right. Say shower bath. No. Say it very slow and distinctly. Shower bath.
I can't wait any longer, sir. I'll have to tell the manager. Carnegie Hall is disgraced.
We're ruined, Charles John. Mrs. Vogelson won't hear you sing. That radio program is off, and it was your last chance.
Well, when is this concert starting, Bachelor? What's this infernal delay?
Oh, I'm sorry, Mrs. Vogelson. We've had an accident.
How dare you pucker at me, Alan? I'm a respectable married woman.
Oh, he don't mean no harm, Mrs. Vogelson.
Well, what's he pouting about?
He can't manipulate his lips.
Looks like somebody just took his oboe away.
Well, you see, Charles John got so infused over your vinegar, he tried gargling with it, and it puckered his mouth.
Oh, you see, nobody can understand a word I say.
What's that?
He says nobody can understand a word he says.
Are you sure, Alan?
I'm positive.
Great. You're just the man I need.
But Charles John can't sing, Mrs. Vogelson.
Who cares about his singing?
You can still use him?
For years I've been looking for a man who can't be understood when he talks.
What for?
I need him for a great radio advertising campaign for Vogelson's vitamin vinegar.
And you think...
If we can keep feeding this mockingbird of yours vinegar, he's the answer to my prayers. I'll put him on the radio at $1,000 a week.
$1,000 a week? Well, what'll he do?
He'll be a vinegar auctioneer.
Can you do it, Charles John?
Can I? Listen.
And now, a word demitasse served by Larry Elliott.
The next few moments are devoted to the entire petroleum industry by the Texas Company. When you drive into town to shop, there's one merchant with whom you can do business without placing a foot outside your car. He's your gasoline and oil dealer, the service station man. He takes pride in serving you and your car efficiently and completely. His products and his free services, like air, water, and other things, are right out in the open for your convenience. And over 95% of all the retail outlets of the petroleum industry are operated by local, independent businessmen who also take pride in living and trading in their own communities.
Thank you, Larry Elliott, and thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us tonight. And don't forget, next Wednesday night, we'll have Amos and Andy and Mansell Talcott, the mayor of Waukegan, with us to help us celebrate Jack Benny's 10th anniversary. This is Fred Allen saying goodnight for the more than 45,000 Texaco dealers from coast to coast and inviting you to drive in anytime. And remember, you're welcome.
This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.